Ortiz v. Downey, 06-2453. And Mr. Trio?
Your Honor, she's in the restroom. He's on his way back in. Sorry.
All right. Here I am. Screwing the order up. You'll never let me sit in the middle again. Sorry for catching you off guard there. We're kind of juggling the schedule a little bit. Mr. Trio?
May it please the Court. Good morning, Your Honors. My name is Tony Trio, and I represent the appellant, Mr. Rolando Ortiz. Your Honors, at its core, this case presents the fundamental question, and that is, what should a district court consider when conducting its initial screening review under 28 U.S.C. 1915A? Here, the Court committed error in dismissing both Mr. Ortiz's religious exercise claim and his access to the court's claim when it considered information outside of the pleadings. I'll start by addressing Mr. Ortiz's First Amendment religious exercise claim. Mr. Ortiz alleges in the complaint he was not given the opportunity to practice his Catholic faith. He sought to practice the most central tenets of Catholicism, and that is communion, confession, or mass. So he asked Chief Michael Downey of the Jerome Combs Attention Center to allow him to attend either Catholic religious services or allow him to meet with a Catholic priest or allow him to at least have access to a rosary or some sort of prayer booklet. And Mr. Downey denied that. In fact, what Mr. Downey suggested instead is that he attend a non-denominational service that the prison provided for its inmates. But yet, this court, I think, in William Z. Lane said that a single non-denominational service is insufficient, even in the context of dangerous protective custody inmates. So I think it's clear he's alleged that he was not given a reasonable opportunity to practice his Catholic faith. And what the court did in reviewing the complaint is that it went outside the pleadings. The initial screening under 12b-6 the initial screening under 1915A is essentially the same as 12b-6, and that is we look at the pleadings, we look at the facts alleged in the light most favorable to the complaining party.
Well, did the material of the court's colloquy with the defendant outside the pleadings, did it really change anything?
The evidentiary hearing?
You just mentioned that the court went outside the pleadings. Did it change anything?
Yes. The court considered a visit from a Catholic priest on March 29, 2006, which in its merit review order it cited as sufficient to fulfill the prison's obligation.
But no, my question is, even if the visit from the priest took place, suppose your client had mentioned that in his complaint, would he still have a good complaint?
I think he would, because what he's alleging is a violation of constitutional rights occurring from July 8, 2005 until February 16, 2006, which is when he filed his complaint. The visit outside of the pleadings on March 29, 2006 does not fulfill the prison's obligation to give him a reasonable opportunity to practice his Catholic faith. In addition to considering the Catholic priest visit on March 29, 2006, the district court also improperly considered what it thought was some sort of economic interest that the prison may have had in restricting Mr. Ortiz from practicing his Catholic faith. Although there was no record whatsoever at all, either in pleadings or elsewhere, that the prison had articulated this this alleged economic interest as a legitimate penological interest. I think that goes contrary to this court's decision in Lindell v. Frank and in the Supreme Court's decision in Cruz v. Beto. Mr. Ortiz also alleged recognizable access to the court's claim. Mr. Ortiz's complaint states that he wasn't allowed access, and this is in the attachments to the complaints as well, that he wasn't allowed access to federal or state case law, no access to federal or state statutes.
Is he worried about access to this material for purposes of his criminal case or purposes of his civil case?
Well, in the complaint, it says he was hindered in his efforts to pursue non-frivolous legal claims. During the merit review hearing, the district court asked him a couple of questions. The questions are, what is your criminal case? What do you need a law library for to help you with your criminal case? Sort of leading questions. And at that point, Ms. Ortiz said yes to help me with my criminal case in filing a motion for ineffective assistance of counsel. And
that's the material on page 85 in the appendix.
That's correct.
Now, does that colloquy preclude any possibility your client was looking for help with the civil case?
I don't think so, Your Honor. And I think if you look at that part of the supplemental appendix, Mr. Ortiz starts to articulate another basis. He says, besides that, and the court sort of cuts him off and moves on to another point, so he's not able to articulate what non-frivolous legal claims he was seeking beyond this motion that he wanted to file in his criminal case. So if you look at the complaint and construe it as the court has an obligation to do in the light most favorable to a pro se litigant or construing it liberally, I think if the court thought that he may not have articulated in the hearing the proper prejudice that he needed to articulate, I think he should have at least been given the opportunity to amend his complaint, which this court stated in Nelson v. De Bruin should be the preferred course of conduct for the district court.
Counselor, with respect to the pro se brief that was filed before your appointment, that contained other arguments. Are you maintaining those arguments now, or do I understand your brief correctly to say that you're foregoing those now?
We're foregoing those arguments and going ahead with the appealing the court's decision to dismiss the First Amendment religious exercise claim and dismissing the access to the court's claim.
I see.
And now, your client please. Agrees with the abandoning those claims, is that?
Yes, so to the extent you're talking about the for the claim that he needed stamps and legal pads, yes, we've decided together that we're not going to pursue that on appeal.
Now, one of those claims involved his access to legal publications, he said. Now, doesn't that kind of merge with the argument you're making today with respect to access to law materials to
yes,
prepare those cases?
Absolutely, Your Honor. When we refer to access to the court, we mean access legal research materials, which I think constitute the federal state case law, the access to the statutes, the Illinois Administrative Code, and to the extent that there's any legal publications that will assist them in pursuing non-frivolous legal
claims. So there's a minor overlap between that old claim and the claim you're making today.
Yes.
With respect to legal
period. Legal research materials.
I'm sorry. Thank you.
If the court has no further questions, I'd like to briefly conclude. Mr. Ortiz stated a cognizable First Amendment religious exercise claim and a cognizable access to the court's claim. The district court committed error in piercing the pleadings and going beyond the pleadings and dismissing his claim. And Mr. Ortiz respectfully requests that the court reverse the district court's decision.
All right, Mr. Trio, thank you very much for your helpful brief and argument, and to your firm as well for accepting the appointment of the court and representing your client's positions in the best tradition of the bar.
Thank you. Thank you.